It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up in Wisconsin's latest round of school testing, fourth grade reading scores dropped and lagged behind the rest of the country. We'll dig into those numbers with a WPR reporter. First, President Trump announced earlier this week that he would meet with his advisors to determine a U.S. military response to an alleged chemical attack in the Syrian city of Douma this weekend. The suspected assault left dozens of Syrians dead and many more injured. President Trump has had some harsh words for those believed to be behind the attack. Many groups have blamed Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's forces and have pointed the finger at his backers, Russia and Iran. On Twitter, President Trump singled out Russia specifically. But no announcement has been made, and the president seemingly dialed down his rhetoric at a White House meeting this morning. Our next guest is here to talk about how the United States could respond. Gordon Adams is professor emeritus in the School of International Service at American University and distinguished fellow at the Stimson Center. He specializes in military policy. Gordon, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we heard an announcement this afternoon that French President Emmanuel Macron has proof that a chemical attack did occur this weekend. And with this in mind, do you think that the military response, if any, will be a coordinated action between the United States, France, and possibly other countries?
I think that's quite likely. I don't think anybody expected that it wasn't a case of regime use of chemical weapons, so it's hardly surprising that the proof should begin to emerge. And the president pretty clearly signaled over the past week that, some discussions needed to be underway with the French, with the British, potentially with some countries in the region about coordinating some kind of military response.
I want to talk about a couple of the president's tweets on this issue. He wrote, initially, Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart. And then in the last couple of days, he's tweeted, never said when an attack on Syria would take place. Could be very soon or not so soon at all. Mixed messages from the president?
Well, I think the president's mixed messages go further abroad than that because, of course, a week before he decided he would say things relatively bellicose about chemical weapons and missile attacks, he had said he was asking his generals to withdraw American troops quite quickly from the northeastern area of Syria. So there's a kind of a yin and a yang approach that seems to be going on here, and the message is not always clear from the president. It's clearly not the president who's developing the options. It's clearly the Defense Department that's developing the options. What's missing here is a diplomatic strategy. We have no sense of the diplomacy, and in fact, no Secretary of State in position. Pompeo is having his hearing today, so there's no diplomatic strategy to accompany us. It's kind of disorderly as an approach, but fundamentally, the president's instinct seems to be keep America out of difficulty here, but at the same time, impose with force some kind of position on Assad. An imposition by force, by the way, which I think is probably not going to be terribly effective. It's going to be a pinprick as it was a year ago. Assad does not seem to be deterred by these missile strikes. He's used chemical weapons more than 80 times since the war began on his own people, and has been, quite frankly, prepared to ride out any response that might have come from the United States or any other country.
Without a diplomatic strategy in place, as you say, is any sort of military intervention going to be effective if we don't have that diplomatic goal in mind?
No, in fact, my view is that a military strategy alone here is likely to be ineffective. The use of missiles here are not going to change his use of chemical weapons. What's more, keeping American troops in the northeastern area or enlarging that ground force is not going to be terribly effective either without a diplomatic strategy. The Pentagon in particular seems to be arguing that we need to keep those troops in place because we can stabilize the region, we can rebuild, we can deter the Russians, the Turks, and the Iranians in the country. We can actually buy ourselves a place at the negotiating table for the diplomacy. But the reality is those troops can do none of those things. We blew our copybook on reconstruction and stability in Iraq. We're not very good at it. Assad has not really cared. He's very grateful we've mopped up ISIS, but surely not worried about 2,000 American soldiers. And in any case, it's the Kurds who mopped up ISIS, not the American troops. And, the key players here are the Russians, the Iranians, the Turks, and Assad. And those four are meeting in peace talks. They've been meeting to try to look at how to resolve the Civil War now several times without the Americans even being at the table. Troops or more troops are not going to buy us a place at the table. We're kind of a bit player in this circumstance.
You mentioned a few American goals there, a seat at the table in diplomacy, rebuilding, also destroying ISIS has been part of the mission, containing Russian influence in the region, maybe protecting the Kurds could get on this list. Have we ever, under President Obama or President Trump, really had a coherent mindset about what we want to come out of Syria with?
No, although I would say we have significantly greater chaos today than we had with Obama. Obama worked through aspects of a strategy, worked on diplomatic approaches, drew that red line and then did not act on the red line that he had drawn. Personally, I think he was absolutely right not to act on it, probably a mistake to draw it in the first place. But he clearly had a strategic view of how the United States should, and this is very important, keep its distance from deep engagement in the Syrian conflict itself. What Trump seems to be saying is both get deeply engaged and don't get deeply engaged at the same time. That's not only confusing to our allies, it's not likely to be terribly helpful on the ground.
Talking to Gordon Adams from American University about Syria and the American response, the potential American response to a chemical weapons attack there over the weekend. Want to give a listen to President Trump. He was asked by reporters about the U.S. response in Syria at a meeting mainly to discuss agriculture. Here's a listen.
We're having a meeting today on Syria. We're having a number of meetings today. We'll see what happens. We're obviously looking at that very closely. And I will be leaving here. I was there, and now I'll be going back as soon as this meeting is over. But we're looking very, very seriously, very closely at that whole situation, and we'll see what happens, folks. We'll see what happens. It's too bad that the world puts us in a position like that. But, you know, as I said this morning, we've done a great job with ISIS. We have just absolutely decimated ISIS, but now we have to make some further decisions. So they'll be made fairly soon.
So not a lot of definite ideas there, but not as, bellicose as some of his earlier tweets on the Syrian reaction.
You know, this is a very unpredictable president. We've beginning to learn to live with that. It's not quite clear what his policy is here. A year ago, he sent 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles into Syria as a kind of a warning shot about one of the last uses of chemical weapons by Assad. It made absolutely no difference in terms of Assad's use. There are people who say because he made his statement about potentially withdrawing troops, that emboldened Assad to use chemical weapons. I think, frankly, that's nonsense. It didn't embolden him at all. He's used them more than 80 times. He's prepared to ride out any U.S. military response. The real problem for Trump and for the administration is a twofold problem. One is we are a bit player. We have a very, very weak hand to play there. And more troops and more missiles are not going to buy us a stronger hand. And two, the administration simply has no diplomatic counterpart of a military strategy. We simply don't know what the Americans would think the future of Syria ought to be, how the powers that are there ought to relate to each other. There's no diplomatic vision. So having no strategy, throwing more missiles, leaving troops, taking troops away, none of that is going to fit with a grand strategy for Syria.
If we're a bit player there now, should we accept that role and not try to interject ourselves in whatever a post-war peace looks like, if there's a post-war peace coming in Syria?
In my view, we absolutely should. There's no reason why the Russians, who have been there for decades, should be interested in an American role. The Turks don't seem terribly interested in an American role. The Iranians are not enthusiastic about it. And it looks like Assad is going to survive in Damascus. He certainly is not going to be enthusiastic about an American role. So even viewing a way the Americans might intrude themselves is rather difficult. My own view is that we would do well to basically stand at the periphery. Let events take the process that they're going to take, mop up on ISIS because there's still a little bit left of ISIS, bring the American troops home, and allow the parties in the region and in the country to settle the situation. We cannot settle it. That's going to be hard for some Americans to accept. But nonetheless, I think it's very realistic.
Do we have a role to play in the humanitarian nightmare with millions of people displaced within Syria and outside of its borders? in addition to the chemical weapon attacks, barrel bombings, and other atrocities against civilians, do we have a role to play in at least calling that out?
Absolutely. And here the difficulty is that the administration 2 weeks ago put on hold $200 million worth of primarily humanitarian assistance. So even where we can, we're not playing the same role that we played in humanitarian assistance. It would be, I think, very ill-advised for the United States to assume it would have a greater role in Syria in any way in the reconstruction and stabilization of the country. The military is not going to be allowed in big numbers to do that. If it is, it will provoke more disturbance. And we're not really capable of stabilizing, governing, or reconstructing countries in the Middle East. We certainly have proved that in Iraq and in South Asia. We've proved it in Afghanistan. We're not the greatest reconstructors you can imagine.
Is there any kind of international framework, whether it comes to the United Nations or I don't know who, that might present a better alternative for Syria than the Syrian government, the Russian government, the Iranians, and Turkey?
I don't think there's any other setting where it's going to be acceptable to any of those parties. Those, along with Hezbollah and at the periphery Israel, are going to be the countries that are involved in the future in Syria. The United States is not going to be terribly involved militarily. It does not have a diplomatic strategy. We will be a small player. This is a part of a broader issue for the United States right now, I think, that is to accept the fact that we are not the indispensable nation, the resolver of security issues in every arena of the world, and particularly in the Middle East. In the last 15 or 20 years, we have performed so poorly in that region that we've burned our own credibility.
Briefly, if I could maybe oversimplify here, a lot of people might have a bad feeling about this because, in a sense, if Assad stays in power, the bad guys won here.
That's right. And, you know, unfortunately, and he is a bad guy, unfortunately, sometimes the bad guys do win.
We'll leave it there. Gordon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Gordon Adams, Professor Emeritus in the School of International Service at American University and a distinguished fellow at the Stimson Center. He joined us to talk about the potential military response from the U.S. in Syria after alleged chemical weapons attacks by the regime there and President Trump's relationship with the armed forces and his policy in the Middle East.